nothing of what had really happened. Here in our text this morning in Luke chapter 24, oh, what a morning. Now the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered to the hands of sinners and be crucified the third day and rise again. And then they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. Stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Then verse 36 through 48. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed unto them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And he gave them a piece of they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them, and said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you're witnesses of these things. This wonderful story here that we see about the Lord rising from the dead proves that what he promised had been accomplished. He died on Calvary's cross for our sins. He was buried in the third day, rose again according to the scriptures. And this morning we see many times the emphasis in the Bible of coming early to think about what God is doing and to remember and see the blessing of God. These who are faithful to get up early, like you all did this morning, got a special blessing of being there the first to see it. And the Lord used their testimonies as they went out. These women had come not knowing that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had already prepared the body with their wealth. They were able to purchase the items ready-made, if you will, and take care of that. But the others that were not so well off prepared it the old way, thinking that he had been put in the grave before that high Sabbath without the proper treatment of the body, and they've come to respect to bury him the way they believed was appropriate. And so they were faithful. They had a good goal, and yet it wasn't as they thought. How many times has the Lord led us in our journey following him in ways we didn't understand until we got there? He always seems to surprise us. In fact, someone has said it in a humorous way. If you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. Because sometimes the way we think it's going to happen is totally different from what the Lord knows is going to happen. That does not mean that we are put down in his estimation, not that he doesn't respect us. He honored these that came by faith to do a noble work out of honor for the one they love, their Savior, but yet they didn't understand it all yet. I'm encouraged when I read this account and see the perplexity and the confusion evidenced in the lives of these early believers, even though we sometimes have a tendency to think, well, they should have known. We have the Bible written down. They didn't have it yet. It was still being lived out, and God later inspired men to put down these things in Holy Scripture. So we have an advantage they didn't have. And yet, by the way, I'll say this also, and I emphasize it a lot, they also did more with what they had than we have. They turned the world upside down without books, without computers, radio, TV, or anything. Just the word of the Lord that had been given them in their heart and the words of their mouths and the testimony of their life, they went out and preached Jesus everywhere. And the word of God increased. Many people were saved, so much as even their enemies recognized the power they had over the world and turning it upside down. Oh, that God would pour out his Spirit in our hearts and lives, and we would respond to that as they did and have an influence in this world today. Because our world's a mess, isn't it? They're fighting on every hand. There's bitterness. There's people trying to deny the truths that we are preaching here this morning. And they try to explain it away. Say, we found some old books from overseas and we're finding new ideas. Hey, the Word of God's been here all these years. And it's always amazed me, these so-called scholars that spend all their life trying to find something else. Even though the Word of God is that which we've been given and told that we're to trust in. His word is a light unto our path and a lamp to our feet. We ought to trust the word of God. And yet people go around about it. These people came and remembered and saw the power of God revealing the work of God. The Lord had rolled away the stone from the tomb. It's found in Mark 16 and Matthew 28. It was not to let Jesus out. It was to let the people in to see the difference. Isn't that wonderful? God does things for our good and his glory. He doesn't need us. We need him. And he gave them the great opportunity to go into the world and to preach that gospel which has saved us. And so we ought to accept that as a great honor. As it tells us in Scripture, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. That's an honored position, one that's given trust and responsibility to take the name of our Savior and represent him to this world. And sometimes it's the power of God working in your life and my life that will touch the heart of the unbeliever that they might listen to the words of your mouth and hear the word of God that you share with them and believe. And the Lord has to work that repentance in their heart to turn in faith to him. The angelic messenger came down and explained to them who came to the empty tomb, he is not here, but he is risen. I like the words I read here a moment ago. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Why are you so troubled? Why are these thoughts arising in your heart? Don't you remember what he said? And truly, we often need to remember what he said. And then the Lord, he went even further. He told, go tell my disciples and Peter. You ever wonder why he said that? Well, you remember Peter had denied the Lord. First he professed, I'll never leave you. I'll never deny. Though everybody else does, I'll be faithful. And he ran and hid. And then he followed afar off. And when challenged, he said, I don't know the man. He denied the Lord. And he was ashamed. The evidence that his faith was true was what happened afterwards. He went out and he wept bitterly. You know, some people think that because we do not continue every step of the way 100% exactly right, said, well, you don't really believe. Oh, yeah. If you really follow the Lord, you may fall down a couple times, maybe many times. But a good man that falls down gets up again. He turned and repented and returned. And the Lord had promised, when thou art converted, you will strengthen your brethren. When you get turned around, get straightened out, Peter, and you get right back with God, you're going to be a leader amongst them, even though you have your failings. And God used him. He encouraged him. Jesus went extra mile for Mary Magdalene, John chapter 20, and met her there outside the tomb. And though she didn't understand it all, he encouraged her, and she went back and shouted. And then he gave a message for the followers as they came and they saw his body, grave clothes left there. He disappeared through them. What a marvelous testimony, the linen clothes lying there in that place. And what an amazing thing. And then in our text here, I didn't read all the verses 13 through 35, describes his traveling on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples and his revealing himself. And we want to remember, we have a risen Savior that has changed the world. And we saw, as we read, what they saw in their life. I can't imagine it all. I don't experience all, perhaps, the emotions that they did. But thank God I have the truth. And Jesus told us the truth shall make you free. If you know it, if you take hold of it, and you let the word of God dwell in your heart. It realized, it was a stunning revelation, and then that little phrase that I read, and while they believed not for joy and wondered. Have you ever been so excited about what the Lord has shown you? It's just so hard to, I just can't believe it. It's just so wonderful. It's not doubt. It's excitement. It's joy at the wonderful prospect. Jesus had given promises no other had ever given. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. I go to prepare a place for you. Where I am, there you may be also, in John chapter 14. We often rehearse these words to folks in times of sorrow when loved ones pass. But we ought to hold to that all the time. Jesus is preparing a place for us in heaven. We ought to think more of that place than we do in our place down here. It seems like we're so busy with the here and now, we forget about what's coming that'll last longer and be of more value to us in eternity than this past short life. For our life is such a short time. James says it's a vapor that appeareth for a little while and vanisheth away. Acts chapter 16, 31 tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That was said to a man who had locked him up in prison and was a jailer for Rome, and he had locked up the apostles. And yet the Lord granted to him repentance and faith, and he'll do the same for us. Every one of us will. And then the question comes to us, what about us? Is he my Savior? Am I trusting him? Matthew 27, 22 says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? So many people put off that question. We need to understand that we're going to stand before the Lord and give an answer. What have you done with Jesus? Is he your Savior? Or is he just a person that you think about once a year? Or maybe twice, when he was born and when he died? And maybe you believe the facts of the gospel, that he died, was buried, and rose again for our sins. But you know, there's one more thing you need to do. You need to act on that fact. You need to call on the name of the Lord. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I close by asking, have you called on the Lord to be your Savior? Can you say, as we'll sing later on this morning, if you're back with us, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say, because the Lord is real in your heart and life. Oh, he did for us what we could not do. He paid the price for our sins on Calvary. He died, was buried, and rose again to prove that victory. Have you come to him? Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank thee again for the blessing we receive.